to you. But this morning, I'm just going to have a couple of thoughts around prayer and specifically about prayer. And then we've got two more prayer points to focus on, and we're just going to briefly pray for it before we go out and share some coffee together. And I see Nat's made some beautiful flower arrangements out there, so don't forget those that would like to. Just throw your little few coins in there and have those flowers to take home. They are wonderful, with all proceeds going to missions. But if you think about the New Testament, there's 17 references to Jesus praying throughout the New Testament. You know, and what you begin to see with Jesus that in some way sets him apart from every other world religion and every other kind of leader of any other kind of group is that Jesus isn't telling you that you should pray. He's actually saying, I pray. 17 times in the New Testament, Jesus is referred to as praying, which actually demonstrates that he himself, he prays. You know, like this week we at work, I've had a couple of kids this week. I found myself on class a little bit more this week because a bit of a sickness has gone through work. So a few teachers have been off and then I've had to be in the classroom. And anyway, my favorite subject to teach, I love teaching it. I love teaching reading, but what I really enjoy teaching is teaching maths, because usually what tends to happen is when you say maths, there's probably people in the room cringing and saying, oh, gee, I don't like maths, or that's my least favourite subject to learn. Well, I just like how it's real clear and methodical. I just like that there's always an answer. You know, like I love teaching reading and story writing, but in story writing, there's all these grey areas. So when you're actually teaching that, there's so many grey areas that kids can say, well, I've actually thought I've done a really great story, but in essence, you've done a really poor story. Whereas in mathematics, what you've got is you've got an answer, and you can't argue that answer. It's the answer, and you're either right or you're wrong. And I really love that about maths, and I love teaching maths. Well, this week in maths, I've got this kid in the 3 to 6 class. Anyway, he's a handful, but he's great. Anyway, what he tended to do was he was trying to get out of doing maths. So what he says is he said this a number of times. He said, "Well, show me, show me." You know, that notion of just show me. Right, yeah, come with me then. Get the whiteboard marker out. I'll show you. And I'll work with you, and we'll go through some examples together, and I'll show you how to solve that problem. I'll show you how to use that technique, and we work through it together. And then what happens is he picks up on that modeling, and through that modeling and through that showing, he's able to then do it himself. And it's the same with Christ, the same with Jesus. He's actually modeling, he's actually showing, and through the showing, we're able to pick up the techniques of prayer, or the purpose of prayer, or the what it actually means to pray, or how to pray. He's actually modeling. But furthermore than that, he's showing us that he's a companion to us in our prayer. Is that he is with us, he is alongside us, he is partnering with us. A lot like we do in that math scenario we're talking about. You partner with that person, you partner with that individual, and you model and you show, and you're a companion you work with. And see, he's not actually just saying instructing us to pray, but rather he's actually saying, I pray with you as well. I model it with you as well. I do it as well. I execute it as well. I undertake this as well. And this morning, I pray that as we talk a little bit about prayer this morning, that you won't just think to yourself, well, we're praying for the persecuted church, and I live this blessed life, and I've got it so much easier, and I don't have to look out of the corner of my eye constantly, and I don't have to, you know, like my prayers may seem quite mundane when you think about how blessed we've got, but rather I pray that you would pick up some points of what I try to articulate this morning and say, I can apply that to my life. Even though I live such a blessed life. Yes, our focus is on the persecuted church this morning. But we all know that prayer is powerful. We all know that prayer changes things. We all know that prayer moves mountains. And we all know that. But sometimes there can be this divide between the knowing and the doing. But this morning, would we be ones that are actually able to say, yes, I continually need to pray. Yes, I continually need to apply that to my own life. And not just think that that's a far way off thing, but rather just say, God, would you speak to me afresh today? You know, maybe the most profound thought for you this morning is that right now is that in Hebrews 7 it says this, it says, He is continually interceding for us. You know, maybe this could be the most important thing for you to take away this morning is that Jesus is praying for you. You know, have you ever thought of it like that? You know, like I don't know all of your stories. I don't know all of your weeks that you've had. But what I do know is I know that Jesus is praying for you right now. And He's able to see. And He knows. And He knows the week that you've had. He knows the struggles that you've had. He knows the challenges that you're going through. He knows all of that. And as a result of knowing all that and knowing you so intimately, He intercedes on your behalf and He prays on your behalf. How cool is that? You know, like last night when you went to bed and you were thinking about whatever you were thinking about before you went to bed, the week that was or the day that was or whatever that's been going on, He was praying for you. And then as you woke up this morning, He was praying for you. He already knows the day that you're going to have and He's praying for you. He's interceding for you. You know, and I don't know if that does anything for you. You know, it does for me because when I have people in my life that they let me know that they've been praying for me. You know, last week, or I suppose, yeah, they're all blurring at the moment in my household, the weeks. Has anyone else got that? Where they just seem to be blurring into one, and then come Friday night, you're absolutely buggered, and then you get up and go, oh, another week. Well, that's how it is in our household anyway. And a few weeks ago, Mikey got home from school and he was driving home in the car with Tone, or Tone was picking him up from school or whatever it was. I don't know the full details, but they were driving home and Mikey had said, I've been thinking about Mum all day long. Oh, Mum. I've been thinking about Nan all day long. I've been thinking about Nan all day long. Oh, is everything all right? What's going on? I've just been thinking about it. And this conversation went on about how the Holy Spirit had prompted. Mum had just gone into hospital that day, and the Holy Spirit was obviously working in Mikey's heart and was just allowing him to intercede and pray on someone else's behalf. And so this conversation went about the power of prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit, just being able to speak and move. And there's some power. And then when Tone was sharing that with Mum, I know Mum would have been blessed by that. Because, you know, when someone comes up to you and they say, I've been praying for you. I've been praying for whatever it is. I've just been sensing this and I've just been feeling this and I've been praying for you. And your heart gets uplifted to know that someone else is actually praying for you. You think, gee, how cool is that? That the Holy Spirit has moved on another's heart to intercede and to pray on my behalf. And it's just this thing, and you know, like it's just such a cool thing. Well, this morning, know that He is praying for you. He is interceding for you. He is speaking on your behalf. He is actually speaking forth truth and prosperity and life into all of those situations in and of your life. And you may think no one knows. You may think no one understands. You may think that. But would you know that He is praying and speaking, and there's power in that prayer that He is interceding on your behalf? You know, in fact, In Luke 22, it's just an amazing thought. It's Jesus was talking to His disciples, and it says, Satan has demanded to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm one of the early disciples and Jesus is telling us, hey, you know, Satan has demanded to sift you like wheat, and he wants to take you out, but don't worry, I've prayed for you. I'd kind of look at Jesus and I'd kind of say, well, thanks for the prayers, but why don't you just fix the situation? Why don't you just fix me? Could you change me? Could you magically just fix things? You know, and I was thinking about this thought before. You know, November 7, you know, it's the day that we pray for the persecuted church. And it's not like this. It's not like God's a politician. And we all sign that petition. God, would you remove persecution? And yeah, I sign my name there. And we all sign our name there and then we give it to God. And like a politician has to, there's a lot of signatures on this petition. I better pay attention to that. It doesn't actually work like that. It's not like we can just say, okay, the more that I pray for something, or the more that I do, or the more people that agree with me, the greater chance that God's got to do that magical thing to fix it. Not at all. The reason we do it on November 7th is that we are collectively gathering together, and the persecuted church would know that they are being uplifted, that they are being prayed for, because we know that there's power in prayer. So when Jesus said in that story, I pray for you, the reason he said that is because there's power in prayer, and prayer changes things, and prayer shifts things, and prayer moves things, and prayer actually does that, because prayer is super, super powerful. You see, Jesus doesn't always fix the situation straight away. Sometimes he's praying for us that through the process, through the journey, that we will grow in our faith, we will grow in our character. And Jesus knows the importance of praying, so he teaches us to pray. In fact, the most important sermon that Jesus would ever preach, if you ask me, was the Sermon on the Mount. And smack bang in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, in fact, right in the middle, you've got 116 lines have been said before, and then you've got the Lord's Prayer, and then you've got 114 lines that go after it, and right in the middle of the greatest sermon to ever be delivered is this fundamental teaching on how to pray. You see, and I think if we're honest, and I'm also speaking to myself this morning, because I don't want to myself detach from a new revelation of the power of prayer, or a new revelation of the significance of praying, or a new revelations of not the significance of praying, but the significance of speaking forth through prayer. Speaking forth through prayer. So today, as we spend some time in a moment, we're going to focus on two other areas this morning. But I want to share just two, three very, very simple, very, very quick thoughts. They'll definitely not be profound. It's not like you're going to walk away with this, gee, that was a mind-blowing sermon. Not at all. Because that's the thing about prayer. Prayer can be such a simple yet such a complex thing. Prayer can be such this dichotomy of, I can just pray a simple prayer. And things just, it's not about the elegance of our words. It's not about the vocabulary that we engage, but rather it's about the heart intent behind what we're speaking forth. So this morning, my first point is this, it's not actually about prayer. Praying is not actually about prayer, but rather it's about aligning. It's about being in agreement with God's will. It's about pursuing His will. Pursuing His will this morning. You see, the first thing about prayer is that it's not about prayer, but it's about growing our relationship with God. You see, the important component of prayer is a huge portion of actually wanting a relationship with God. You know that saying where it says, who you hang around, you'll end up like. You know, like, someone can determine what you're going to be like in 5 years' time by the people that you associate with, by the people that you hang around with. And that's not to say that we don't hang around with different kinds of people. No, not at all. You know, it's not to say that we've got this, we're in a little glass house and we do it. No. We live in the world. We agree with people. We work with people. We engage with people. But what it actually means is, it means as the more that you develop your relationship with God, the more that you develop your relationship with Jesus, the greater the chance of you aligning your heartbeat to His will, to you aligning your very walk to His will, to His call, to His plan, to His purposes. And as you align to His purposes, that's based upon your relationship with Him. And as you do that, there's this growing desire that you want a more and more of a relationship with God. And that alone may even change our primary motivations. Because it's not just about praying. It's about growing our relationship with God. It's this oxymoron in essence. It's about growing our relationship with Him. But through our growing relationship with Him, we desire to pray more. But then by praying more, we desire to grow in our relationship with Him. And then there's this harmonious relationship that just begins to occur. Quite a silly thing. It's not like I could draw a maths equation up on the board and say A plus B equals C. and see, no, not about that at all, but it's just about this thing about growing in relationship with Him. And it actually entails us hearing His heartbeat. Because this morning when I put up the focus areas, it's not like you're going to turn around and say, no way, why would we be praying for that? No way. No, women are second-class citizens. We are not praying for them. I don't think I'm going to hear that come out of anyone's mouth. Because the moment that we realize that we're in relationship with God and we're allowing His plans and wishes and desires to flow through us, we come into this alignment, this agreement to His will, this agreement to His call, this agreement to His purpose. You see, imagine if you get invited to go to a restaurant. And you go to the restaurant, but you don't eat the food. And then somebody asks you how the restaurant was, and you say, yeah, I think it was pretty good. You know, the reality is, you missed out on the main reason for going, because the purpose is not to visit the restaurant. The purpose is to eat the food. Or furthermore, I'd be this sort of person. You know, I would rock up to a gym, and I would probably stand, you can tell by my physique that I don't visit the gym very often. I don't visit the gym at all, okay? I put it out there. I do not visit the gym at all, okay? So if I was to rock up to a gym and I was just to stand in the corner and I was just to have a yarn to the people, I've missed the very purpose of going to the gym. The purpose of going to the gym is not to sit there and have a conversation. The purpose of going to the gym is to work hard and sweat and build those muscles. Okay? That's the purpose. The purpose is not to pray more. Okay? The purpose is not to go, okay, I'm going to say 5,000 prayers and then God's going to listen. No, the purpose is that you know God more, and in knowing God more, you have a heart for the things that God's heart moves for. That's the purpose. And until we get our wires around the correct way, we'll see prayer as a burden. We'll see prayer as an obstacle. We'll see prayer as a task. But no, would you realize that prayer is building your relationship with God, and we will begin to understand there's something powerful and there's something beautiful in prayer. And just by praying, we're developing our relationship like if you were to walk through a paddock with high grass, the first time you do that, grass may pop back up. But if you build a pathway that's going to erode all that other thing, you find yourself just building that pathway where prayer doesn't become a burden. You know, the first time you walk through, it's a bit burdensome. It's a bit difficult. But the more that you do it, and the strengthening of the relationship, the easier it becomes. The second point this morning is prayer is not based on performance or perfection, but is based upon His grace. And I'm so thankful for that. That prayer is not based upon my performance. You know, as Mum was in hospital, you'd go and visit her and she'd say, before you go, can you pray for me? Yeah, for sure. I'm so thankful it wasn't based upon the performance of my day that would allow me to go open up in prayer. It's not based upon my performance. And I talk about me because I can confidently say I'm not perfect. I can say it to you and you might say, whoa, how dare you say that? But I know I'm not perfect. I know I've got faults. I know I've got issues. And I'm so thankful that my ability to pray is not based upon my perfection. It's not based upon my performance, but it's based upon His grace. It's based upon Him. Okay? And thanks to grace, we can freely approach God. And with our petitions, knowing He will hear and He will respond. I'm a strong believer that no prayer goes unheard and no prayer goes unanswered. Yes, a prayer may not be answered in the way that we would desire or like, but all prayers are answered. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Mum was obviously unwell. You know, and I remember we were having this conversation and I said, no matter what happens here, Mum, you'll get your healing. You may not get your healing this side of eternity, but you will get your healing. No matter what, you'll get your healing. Prayers sometimes don't get answered the way that we would like them to be answered, but they are always answered. There's always a response. There's always something that comes. And we can approach Him, and we can approach Him because of His grace. You see, the truth is that you don't have a lot of grace-based relationships in your life. You see, you have predominantly performance-based relationships. You have a handful of grace-based relationships, and you know, and a household and a family is based upon grace, where there's forgiveness. No one gets kicked out of your family when they mess up. No one. They stay. It's not like I say to Mikey, no, Mikey, go and find another house to live in. How dare you do that? You've stuffed up too much. Off you go. No, no, no. Families are grace-based relationships. However, there's a huge chunk in our lives and the reality of who we are and what we are used to is we operate in a performance-based relationship. That's not necessarily a problem. That's not. In fact, right now, if you've got a boss, you are in a performance-based relationship. And that's okay. Okay? There's nothing wrong with that. Like, I just saw Zach there, and I thought, he's got a few workers under him. You know, if they just kept coming up to him saying, oh, sorry, Zach, I just fell through the roof again. You know, I was only meant to do a little hole for that light bulb, but I actually fell through it. So sorry, mate. Like, the first time you'd probably say, sweet, like, we'll sort that out. But if that come a daily occurrence, you'd be thinking, mate, your performance sucks. See you later. Because we've got this performance-based relationship. You know, you've got a boss and it's okay. Like, it's you do the work, you get paid. How good's that? You don't do the work, you don't get paid. How good's that? It's good if you're doing the work, I suppose. If you're not doing the work, you probably think, that's a stupid thing. Okay, but it's performance-based. They exist in our life and they've got an important purpose. But the problem that we can sometimes have is if we carry our performance-based relationship mindset into our prayer-based, grace-based relationship with Jesus. And we so easily think that my performance hasn't been fantastic this week, and so we don't approach him in prayer because prayer is based on grace, not based upon performance. It's his performance, thankfully, not mine. And so it means that the best time to pray is probably when you haven't got a performance that is worthy of going to him. You know, like it's if you're having a cruddy day and you've got things going on, everything, oh, this could just be me and I'm sharing my secrets today. But everything in me says I don't want to talk to people. I don't want to see anyone. I think we were joking a couple of weeks ago. I must have been having a cruddy day and I went to the supermarket. Who knows, that's a bad idea. Having a cruddy day and you go to the supermarket. Because what happens in the supermarket? You see people. How dare there be other people in the supermarket? And you see people. And what do people usually do when they see you and they know you? Is they say hello. How dare they say hello when they know you? But when you're having a cruddy day, the most important thing to do is to see people. Is to interact with people. Is to allow them to speak to you. Because as they speak to you and as they actually relate to you, your cruddiness somehow gets removed. You know, it just happens. And so it's the same with prayer. The moment that we should be going and praying the most is when our performance is probably most unquestionable and we actually don't go and pray because we think that it's our performance is what our prayer should, life should be based upon. But it's not our performance, it's his performance. How cool is that? It's his performance. You know, that performance-based mindset comes into prayer sometimes. So this morning, I know I've given two quick points. And the last point, very, very quickly. You know, prayer is actually about speaking forth a new reality. That's what prayer's about. Prayer's about enhancing our faith. Prayer's about activating our faith. Prayer's about speaking forth a new reality. You know, we're going to get Raj and we're going to get Gay to pray in a moment. They're probably going to pray and stand up right where they're at. But what they're actually going to be doing is they're going to be activating their faith. And we're going to be in agreement and we're going to activate our faith. And we're going to actually speak forth a new reality. A reality that is in so alignment with who God is and the very character of God. We're going to activate that faith this morning. Because prayer is about speaking forth a whole new reality. It's about speaking forth a new, it's like the, do you remember that movie, Do You Want to Have the Red Pill or Do You Want to Have the Blue Pill? What's that movie? Does anyone know? Matrix. You know, you've got those multiple realities. multiple realities. And I feel prayer is like that. We can activate this new reality by faith. We can activate it. You see, because prayer is not based upon our performance. Prayer is not based upon us, it's based upon Him. Sometimes prayer is not even about prayer, but it's actually becoming into alignment with Him. And prayer is actually speaking forth a new reality. A new reality. The reality that He has for a specific purpose, a specific people. You know, like when you're sick, you're speaking forth a reality where that person is not sick. Because you know God's Word says that by His stripes we're healed. You know, like if you see someone who's upset, sad, and they've been robbed of joy, you're speaking forth joy. Why? Because the very Word of God speaks that over us. And we're just becoming into alignment with that. You know, and this year in the three focuses of the prayer for the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. The first one was about children. So I was praying for children. The next one, I'll pull them up on my phone so I'll make sure I get it right. The next one is praying with secret believers. Secret believers. Well, I'll get Nat and the team just to come up. I'll close in prayer. And as I do close in prayer, though, we'll also pray for the HSC starts this Tuesday. So there'll probably be some in our congregation that are, whether they're involved in a compressed curriculum and they're in year 11 doing HSC exams or those sorts of things, we'll just pray for those that are doing their HSC starting this Tuesday. And I'll do that as part of our prayer. So Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You that we can just spend some time and just hear about the power of prayer, Lord, and be reminded of Your heart for prayer and Your heart for us, Lord. And I just even pray as we've prayed for the persecuted church, those specifically children and women and those that are involved in the secret church, Lord, secret believers. Lord, I just pray that Your Holy Spirit will uphold them right now. I pray that Your Holy Spirit would just minister in a way that only it can, Lord, in a way that only that's so relevant and real to each individual person, Lord. I just thank You that Your hand is on each person today, Lord. And Lord, I pray also this Tuesday with the HSC exams beginning. Lord, I just pray You'll supernaturally bring to memory those things that people have learnt over the last few years, Lord. I just pray that the anxiety and the stress will be washed away because they know that You've got a plan and a call and a purpose on their life. And the hope that we find in You will be greater than the stress of an exam, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that as they sit those exams, that they will just be a light to their peers. Their peace would be able to wash their friends. And Lord, I just thank You that Your hand will be upon them as they sit their exams over the coming weeks. Lord, we pray. Lord, I thank You that we will have a great week, Lord. I thank You that Your Holy Spirit's going to go with us. Lord, I pray that You'll just give us opportunities to share Your love. Give us opportunities to speak truth and life into our day, each day, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks, Natty.